You're listening to the Modern Experience Marketer Podcast, the place for multi-location marketers to dive deeper into the new world of customer experience and where CMOs and their teams come to learn how to attract new leads that convert, manage online reputation, and use every customer interaction to deliver amazing experiences and grow revenues.
All right, welcome back to the Modern Experience Marketer Podcast. My name is Jay Hinman, and we are back for our second episode. Each episode of the program, I get to talk directly to marketing experts who spend their time trying to understand how best to turn customer experiences into revenue and who have hands-on experience in attracting leads and managing online reputation and in understanding the voice of the customer. They're on the program to provide you with tips, advice, and best practices on how you and your team can become better experience marketers. We try to keep every episode to about 25 to 30 minutes so you can easily listen while doing chores or walking the dog or on a commute if you started commuting again. This episode, we'll be talking to Ashley Cash, the Senior Manager of Customer Experience at Globe Life, and we're focused on understanding the voice of the customer. Ashley takes us through her experience and the challenges that she faced in building a voice of customer program at Globe Life and how what she's learned can be applied to your business. We'll talk about the importance of establishing baselines, setting personas, and how your online reviews might just be the best source of customer data that you have. Let's get going and listen to the Modern Experience Marketer interview with Ashley Cash. I'd like to introduce Ashley Cash, the Senior Manager of Customer Experience at Globe Life. Ashley has an extensive background in sales, marketing, and operations for companies like Coca-Cola and Whirlpool, and she leads customer-centric, brand-aligned CX and online reputation initiatives with a small but mighty team. Ashley lives in Dallas, Texas with her husband and daughter, and she loves making new friends. She invites you to connect with her on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/AshleyCash. That's Ashley with an E. Ashley, welcome to the Modern Experience Marketer Podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
No problem. Glad to have you here. And well, just to set some groundwork, tell us a little bit about Globe Life and the insurance products and services that you offer to your customers, as well as what a typical customer journey looks like.
Absolutely. So Globe Life is the parent company for five insurance brands. We typically, for most of our brands, sell life insurance products, though we do have one brand that focuses primarily on health products and another that focuses primarily on Medicare supplement products. I like to sort of always give the analogy that you can think of Globe Life very similarly to Marriott, meaning Marriott is the parent company, but there are also Marriott branded hotels. And then of course you have like your Courtyards by Marriott, all those different different brands that serve different niches. And so we're very much structured in that exact same way. So I think the second part of your question was about the journey, the customer journey. And so it's kind of interesting for us. I typically work on the journey of an actual customer, right? So post sale, we have a team that works on the journey in terms of the sales process. And then there's sort of a handoff to me once they actually become a customer or policyholder. So I'll talk about the journey from my sort of where I start. And really what that looks like is regardless of the channel in which you've purchased your insurance, which can vary across brands, your experience sort of comes to a head when it comes to service, when it comes to communications that you get from us. And so a lot of the work that I do is making sure that regardless of the channel, regardless of the company, you have a consistent experience that also sort of matches our brand voice. And for us, that is making sure that insurance is accessible, it is approachable, and that we really help people protect those that they love. And so that for us is really when we make journey decisions, those are sort of the foundational pieces of that.
That makes sense. Well, so where do you think many other businesses, not yours, of course, but where do they fall short in delivering value across that customer journey and why? Why do they fall short?
It could be a number of things, but I think one of the things that businesses get wrong is they think about the journey from the business's perspective and not the customer. And we'll probably talk a little about this more in detail, but I think it really is important to, one, have a good idea from a journey perspective of who is this customer, right? What do they care about? What do they want? What do they value? And then how do we deliver on that? And then you can intertwine, you know, your brand voice or, you know, your brand standards into that. But if you're not starting with what does the customer want to get out of this or what's important to the customer, you're going to get it wrong every time.
Got it. Well, I mean, so much of modern marketing, it's understanding the kinds of channels that your customers are engaging in, as opposed to the ones where you want them to engage in. And we have a saying here at BirdEye, like brands used to control experiences, but now it's the customer experiences themselves that control those same brands. So what are the channels that you can't ignore these days when it comes to delivering best-in-class customer experiences?
Absolutely. So I'll speak about Globalize. Specifically. And so for us, there are two primary channels that we are really, really putting a lot of focus on, especially because life insurance is a sort of low touch product, right? Like you have within the journey, like the awareness and all that, and then you make your purchase. And then after you make your purchase, if you bought life insurance, beyond maybe making a payment or making a few policy updates, it's not sort of a product that you're interacting with, you know, every day, right? It's a low touch product. And so for us, well, we know that. And so we think about, one, how do we, you know, meaningfully engage with our customers? But the two channels we focus on are, self-service. So a lot, obviously, in our digital world, if customers are wanting to self-service or make changes or whatever that looks like, you know, at 3 a.m. because they're contemplating all their life's decisions and life insurance happens to be one of them, we want to make that as easy as possible and as intuitive as possible. So we're really trying to work through what does the self-service journey or experience look like from the vantage point of our customers. And then the second piece is, believe it or not, phone. We have within our company a group of customers. We actually sell a lot of policies to grandparents and seniors. And those customers absolutely want to have that sort of high touch phone experience where they're talking to a human being, where they can get all their questions answered, where someone can, you know, walk them through, you know, certain terms or what certain choices may mean for their policy, and where a lot of companies sort of want to shift everyone to that digital online experience. I beg to differ, right? Again, it's if our customers want phone support, if they want to interact with our company through that channel, then let's make that the best experience that we can, right? Let's minimize hold times. Let's make sure our agents provide simple and clear explanations. Let's make sure, you know, they don't feel rushed. So again, it really is about what channels do your customers want to be able to interact with your brand through, and then maximizing the experience there.
That's great. Yeah, you say it's kind of counterintuitive because a lot of the customer experiences that are controlling brands these days are the much more newfangled things like video chat and text messaging and online chat. And you're kind of going back to first principles, which is like my customers want to do a phone call if they need to get something answered. Mm-hmm. And so you're kind of listening to customers, responding to, you know, what they want. And even if it's quote unquote old school, you're doing it their way.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, so now you're leading the Voice of Customer program at Globe Life. So how did that come to be and what was your initial charter there?
So I always laugh a little bit when I get asked about that because really I was voluntold.
As opposed to volunteering. Yeah.
Absolutely. I kind of walked into a meeting one day and was like, hey, guess what? So it just really sort of, I'm sure from the powers that be at our company, felt more organic, right? We realized, I think, kind of what you said at the beginning, where brands used to control the experience, and now really customers drive that. And so we started to really recognize that And I was really asked to sort of take the lead on that from a CX standpoint, so that when we're talking about voice of customer, the same person who is sort of curating or helping to improve the experience is also in charge of sort of the voice of customer programming, you know, how we go about getting feedback from our customers. It was explained to me that we wanted to just make sure those two things were in tandem. So that's kind of how it came to be. And really the initial charter of that was because we were starting at ground zero. It was like, how do we just start with some simple surveys? And then I started asking questions like, well, what's our baseline? What do our customers think about us, you know, right now? And so that opened the door sort of to online reviews, right? Like what's out there about us as a company, which we had not been paying attention to at all, like not even a little bit. I mean, passive is not even, passive would be too generous to describe how we were approaching online reputation. So we started there and looking at some of the reviews really sort of started to go to implement our voice of customer program and online reviews from there.
So did you have any internal challenges getting it off the ground?
A few, right? Because one, it was a new initiative. It was a new thing. And the other part is always, and I know people listening can relate to this, how do you make people care, right? How do you make people care about your initiative? Because me, I'm jumping up and down like, we need to be listening to our customers and we need to operationalize their feedback. And everyone else, you know, is kind of like, well, look, I got my own goals. You know, I got my own things I'm being held accountable to do. Right. Like that's fluffy and nice. Whatevs, Ashley. And so one of the things that I was really charged with kind of early on was how do I make people care? And so one of the things that I did was I had to connect the dots for them to say, experience, there is a direct line from experience to revenue, right? And really started to illustrate that for folks. And once we started doing that, then people were paying attention. And now it's gotten from how do I make people care to, I just actually had a meeting yesterday with someone where they're like, Ashley, can you help me? I want to do this thing for this customer group. What do I need to do to get on your calendar? And I'm just like, yeah.
it's because you said that thing about revenue. Yeah. That's why they're paying attention.
Exactly. Exactly. Now I'm in high demand.
That's great. What were some of the things that you learned about your customers in those initial stages when you kind of looked more closely that perhaps you weren't expecting?
So one of the things that we learned, what we just talked about in terms of phone versus digital, I'll start with like the online reputation and also the surveys, right? Some of the feedback we would get would be like, my whole time was too long, or, you know, the rep was nice, but I felt a little bit rushed. And so literally just listening to that or reading that, it didn't make me think, oh man, how can I get more people to like go online rather than waiting on hold? It really started to click that, oh wait, there is a subset of customers who want to call us. And when they call, they want to feel like, you know, they're not rushed and someone's taking the time to explain. And what we need to do is for the folks who want to be serviced online, get them off the phones. Make it very clear that they don't have to call us because they don't want to anyway, right? Provide a channel for them to self-serve so that we sort of clear a path for those who want that more sort of personalized service. And so I think voice of customers really helped us understand that. And again, it's really like, I think listening with empathy and not sort of already having this predetermined solution. Again, just like what you said, like a lot of companies are like, oh, we need more chat. We need more digital tools. And I'm like, no, that's not what they're saying. They're not saying I had a long hold time. What is a website URL so I can do a web chat? They're saying I had a long hold time, but I held on that long because it was important to me to talk to a human.
Makes sense. Well, so then how do you operationalize all of that? So how do you operationalize responding to the voice of the customer so that, you know, everybody within Globe Life is looking at the same data and has the same mindset that you do?
Yeah. So that part is always a challenge. For everyone. And so for me, I'm just sort of a simple kind of girl. So from a data standpoint, one tool that we use is BirdEye. And no one's making me say this. This is absolutely true. This is a peek behind the curtain at Globe Life. And we use BirdEye. And what's cool about the platform that we use is that it enables us to do two things. One is every executive in our company gets a daily digest email from BirdEye that contains all of the reviews from the previous day. So every executive in our company, and actually all of our department heads for our customer facing departments, they get the same email. So they're reading the good, the bad, you know, the ugly. So they have that there. And then from that, we've developed some tools to sort of say, okay, if a review says this, this is how it gets triaged. So we have processes from things as simple as, hey, let's reach out to a customer to resolve an issue, all the way to, someone is alleging, fraud or misconduct or something like that, getting that information up to the right channels for that. And then also me and my team taking some of the key themes that we see and then meeting with the appropriate department heads to sort of say, okay, what initiatives can we do to take this feedback and either improve something or start something? And so I think the big part of it is having eyes on it. It's not something that like our executives just see, once a month or in some sort of quarterly business review. They see what I see every day. So it's top of mind for them. When they don't get they don't get an email, they're asking about it. Or if they see something, in an email or in survey feedback, sometimes I get emails before I can even read it and they're asking me about it. So, I would say all that to say making it a part of our culture, making it a part of our executives and leadership, it's part of their everyday. And so, and then the last part is we have reporting that we send out that's really simple and easy for them to digest at a glance. And those are the things that have helped us the most.
Great. Yeah. And I would expect for my next question, you're going to have a similar answer in the sense that what do you actually recommend to other businesses who perhaps don't have quite a fully developed voice of customer program in place? Like, how do they get started and what are some of the main levers they need to pull to make it successful?
Absolutely. So I think, and you're right, it's a similar answer. I would absolutely say if your company is, you don't have everything in place, maybe you're smaller, maybe you're a lean team, like my team is, I absolutely think partnering with a company to help you do that is critical, right? Because you don't know what you don't know. And if you want to do it right, sometimes I think it's important to just get expertise outside of your company. The second thing that I would recommend is definitely starting with a baseline. And then the third thing is before you start talking about sort of voice of customer, make sure that you have a really, really clear understanding of who your customers are. Because if you don't, you could easily interpret some of the findings from your voice of survey work. You could easily misinterpret those, right? And so I'll continue to go back to, I know that there is a significant subset of our customers who are seniors, grandparents, things like that. And so having that knowledge then gives me sort of the ability to read between the lines when someone's talking about waiting on hold for 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, I get it. They're retired, so they got 20 minutes to sit there and hold. But they're not moving, their life isn't so fast paced to where, they're going to hang up and just say, forget about it. They'll wait. They don't want to wait. So I think having a good understanding of who your customers are is a really important thing to have in place before you sort of start to say, I want to start a voice of customer initiative.
That's great. Yeah, like having a fully developed customer persona, mm-hmm. some real customer research that sits behind it, and then you can go forward yep. with your program. That makes sense. So what do you think are the biggest challenges that marketers like yourself have in, you know, kind of pulling insights out of their marketing data, and how do you fix that?
You know, for me, a lot of times, I'm sure a lot of people will feel like I don't have enough data. And for me, sometimes it's, I have what I need in terms of data. How do I prioritize? How do I continue to operationalize? Because again, where I sit, I'm not a business owner, right? So if I, let's say for customer service, if I want to operationalize something that I've learned from voice of customer, I have to collaborate very closely with the customer service leadership team, but they've got their own, you know, priorities. They've got their own goals that they've set for their department. And so sometimes it does become an act of influence and negotiation to work with those teams to help you get, you know, the initiatives and programs in place that you need to really make an impact there. So for me, that's the toughest part, is not being necessarily a business owner, having the data, but also getting people to do what you want them to do, and for them to sort of balance that against their own priorities. That part is tough.
Okay. Well, so how has COVID-19 accelerated, you know, customer experiences or the digitalization of customer experiences? And what has that meant for multi-location marketers such as yourself over this past year?
Yeah. So COVID has been interesting, like for everyone. It's done two things. It has exposed to us internally our gaps in our digital experiences, right? It has just really pulled the curtain back to say, like, ooh, before this wasn't as big of a deal, but now that, you know, everything is online, virtual, work from home, whatever, like, oh my gosh, okay, you know, here's where we need to give some attention, which is a good thing. And then, but the other thing is that it's enabled us to also, for some of our multi-locations, to have a much bigger reach than we ever thought possible, because now things are virtual. So we're not bound by geographies anymore. We've really sort of developed some digital processes and policies that really help us do more, reach more customers. For example, I'll go back to our customer service example. You know, now that we have more folks working from home, we're able to hire people in different geographies, different time zones, which also means that our phone support is available later than it used to be because we have folks in different time zones. And so that wasn't something that we, you know, probably were planning to do pre-pandemic, but we have, and it's worked really well. So there are some things that have, you know, really helped us do some things that we needed to do a lot sooner because we had to, and that's kind of a positive.
It's amazing all the things we didn't even think about before the pandemic that we now kind of take for granted a year later.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, you don't have to drive an hour to get to the location any longer. We'll just improve our self-service process and make it easier for you to do it online.
Exactly.
And, you know, hiring, et cetera. Yeah. Incredible. Well, does Globe Life have any programs that turn the happiness of these existing customers into methods of acquiring new customers?
Yeah. Well, the way I'd answer that question is sort of. So one of the things that we have really, really been focusing on is our online reputation. And so when you think about journey, the customer journey, and you think about building awareness and sort of that decision phase, we have learned that social proof plays a really, really big role in that decision-making process. And so one of the things that we've done is really put a focus on getting more online reviews for both customers who have experience with our products, experience with our claims, and also employees. Because we've just learned so much that that social proof, it doesn't matter if we say, you know, we're a great company. It doesn't matter if we talk about what we've done out in our communities. People want to hear it from other customers. And so that has really helped us in terms of revenue growth, is really putting a focus on our online reputation and reviews.
Great. Well, Ashley, I know that you are also an interview and resume writing coach, and you focus on helping executives to shine on paper and in interviews. So tell us a little bit about that, and how do you bring the approach that you take toward the customers of the company you work for to your own customers who you're helping to interview and with their resume skills?
Yes. So no, I don't sleep. Let's start there.
That's clear.
I'm powered by caffeine, for sure. But it's interesting, and we were kind of talking a little bit about this before we hopped on. I think owning and operating a small business definitely helps me as a marketer, and vice versa. I think the two sort of fuel each other, because I take learnings from my own company and apply them at Globe Life and vice versa. One of the things we were kind of talking about was making sure that we understand who our customers are and what's important to them. And then from there, how we deliver experiences. And so for me, I mean, I have like full on customer avatars, right? Like one of my customers, her name is Brittany. And she, you know, is college educated, and she loves shopping at Target, and she values family and community. And so when I'm talking to Brittany as a business owner, I'm thinking about what's important to her, words that she might use, you know, how she feels about herself and her career, you know, all of those things. And that's very similar to what I do at Globe Life. I'm always really thinking about the customer first. And so that's kind of how I take that approach.
Got it. Well, Ashley Cash, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. And I think we learned a lot about voice of customer. And yes, thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
The Modern Experience Marketer podcast has been brought to you by BirdEye, the all-in-one experience marketing platform for multi-location businesses. Come over to birdeye.com to learn more.